No matter how many times I talk to guitar legend and Detroit native John Five, it's always a fun conversation, and today is really no different. We talk about a lot of things, including his thoughts on the recent passing of Jay Giles, as well as how he got Gene Simmons and Ace Frehley from Kiss in the same room a few weeks back, jamming with other guitar players, talking about Joe Louis Arena, as well as his thoughts about Ty Trujillo, the 12-year-old son of Robert Trujillo from Metallica, going on tour as Korn's bass player.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff.
This is Radio Chatter with WRIF's own Meltdown.
Thank you guys so much for checking out Radio Chatter. As I say each and every single week, it does mean a lot for me to get the feedback from you guys, to put something out there that you guys appreciate. And I hope that you do like what we do right here on Radio Chatter, trying to give you some really cool guests. And today is no exception. John Five is Rob Zombie's guitar player. Of course, he's also played with David Lee Roth and Marilyn Manson. And I mean, and let me tell you something. I know I sound like a broken record sometimes. John Five is one of the nicest guys. I know I say it all the time about all these rock stars. But really, people ask me sometimes, who are, you know, the biggest assholes you've met? And I'm like, boy, I don't know. I could count those on like one hand. The nice people, they seem to be all over the place. And John Five is definitely in that category. Like I said in the open, he recently got Gene Simmons and Ace Frehley back together. He talks a little bit about that story at a show for Ace Frehley in Los Angeles. We talked to him about some of the guests that show up at his shows as well. You can see some of his pictures on Instagram. It's really cool. We talk about some things that are really kind of Detroit-centric, like the loss and the passing of Jay Giles. Even though Jay Giles was a Boston band, they were pretty big right here in Detroit, as well as Joe Louis Arena. If you're outside the Detroit area listening to this, Joe Louis Arena is closing. That was the home of the Red Wings and, of course, in the NHL. And, of course, tons of concerts have played there. And John talks about some of the shows he's seen there. It's like a legendary venue that's closing up, and a ton more. So once again, thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks for sharing. Please feel free to write a review. Give me a star rating. 5-star would be nice. But if not, just any sort of star rating would be great. And I hope that you guys dig this conversation with John Five, whose tour is actually coming to a close. That's how we started out the conversation.
Yeah, we have a few days left, and man, I'll tell you, it's like nothing I've ever done before. It was like 6 weeks, and we played every day except for the days when you had to travel, from Texas to here to there, where you couldn't play a show because you had to get to the next venue and it's so far away. But we basically played every day for 6 weeks, and it's pretty incredible. I mean, it really pushes the limits, that's for sure.
Yeah, pushes the limits of your fingers. Your fingers need a rest, I think, right?
Yeah, you know, and it's tough. You know, with a singer, you can't really do that because you need to rest the voice. But, you know, on days off, I'm just playing guitar anyway. So I was like, let's play every day we can.
Yeah, I see that it's a pretty grueling tour schedule. But hey, what the heck? You know, you only live once, and you're out there doing what you enjoy. And I mean, you really like this stuff. I mean, you go from playing those big, you know, festivals and sheds with Rob Zombie. And we've talked about this before. You like playing the smaller places just as much.
I do, you know, because I love getting really up close with the people. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just from when I was a kid playing at Harpo's, the Ritz, New York, New York, the Token, you know, Hamtramck Pub, all those places. I was a kid and I would play so much. I was just talking to Zombie about this, and I was like, yeah, we would play and there'd be like nobody there. And our drummer at the time, when I was in this band, when I was seventh, eighth grade, he'd be like, what are we doing this for? And it was for experience, and it was all experience. You know, it's just like a fighter. You can punch the bag, you know, your whole life, but you have to get up on stage, and it really helps a lot. I don't know. I just love those intimate venues. I really do.
Yeah, I guess it's like with a comedian or anyone that takes to the stage. Anyone can probably do it when there's a lot of people there. It's really where you earn your craft and where you, you know, earn your bones, I guess, so to speak, when there's an empty room.
Yeah, it's pretty stressful. So, but we are having the time of our lives, and I can't believe the tour's been so successful. I'm really like pretty blown away by it, that because this is crazy, crazy, crazy instrumental music, and there's a show that goes with it, and I'm just really happy that people enjoy it, because it's coming from the heart, and I think, you know, people really can, you know, they recognize that, and they know it's true, and they know it's coming from the heart, and they know it's real, and I'm really excited about that.
Well, I saw the show last year, and I was blown away at how good it was. I mean, obviously, I know you're a good guitar player, but you're right. It's like, can somebody stand in the audience for an hour and a half and watch a guy play guitar? And the answer is yes. I mean, I stood there the whole time, and I was really impressed, and that's why I'm going back again this weekend, the Token Lounge, Saturday nights. I can hardly wait to check you out again, and this show is great, man.
Yeah, we're so excited, and I was like, all right, I want to end the tour Saturday night, you know, Token Lounge, and where it all started, and the show's different, and it's so much better, and I'm like so excited to get there and see all the family and friends, and you know, it's always been great playing Detroit, and you know, a lot of bands say, oh, it's great playing this place or that place. But, you know, it really is. I mean, with Rob Zombie, we recorded a live record at DTE. Mm-hmm. And with Manson, we recorded a live record in, you know, parts of the live record in Detroit as well. So, you know, it's always been so special to so many huge bands, and there's a reason for that. I mean, it's people dig music there, and you know, that's why everybody loves coming to Detroit.
Yeah, and speaking of coming to Detroit, I want to get your thoughts on this. Jay Giles, of course, no stranger to Detroit. They called it their second home in the passing of Jay Giles. Were you a Jay Giles fan growing up?
Huge Jay Giles fan, and I'm so sorry to hear. Yeah, Jay Giles dead at 71. I mean, I was like, you know, shocked, but of course, I mean, oh my God, we all love Jay Giles. We love Jay Giles. We love Bob Seger. We love Alice. We love Kiss, you know, and Iggy and all these guys that we just grew up on.
Yeah, and now it's kind of cool because I know you're friends with a lot of them, and you know, I know you've known these guys for a long time, but you still got to sit back every once in a while, like when you're at home alone or something or whatever, and think, man, I'm friends with some of my childhood heroes.
You know, I never, you know, when you're a kid, you always think, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be that, but I never thought I would be doing what I'm doing today, and I'd be friends with, you know, my heroes. I would wait out at the Pontchartrain Hotel, or I'd wait out, you know, waiting to meet my heroes. And now, you know, I can, you know, text them and call them anytime I want. And it's just, it really is a dream life, and I don't take it for granted. I'm so happy and fortunate to be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's pretty kick-ass where your skills have taken you, for sure. And I know that a couple weeks ago you got in contact with your friend Gene Simmons. You guys went down and saw the Ace Frehley show, and they got together and talked. I heard about that whole thing. That's I mean, that's got to be pretty cool as a fly on the wall to see those two legends in the same room together talking after all these years.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, I've known Gene forever, and I've known Ace, all those guys forever. And you know, Ace was playing in Beverly Hills, and I, you know, I sent Gene an email, and I said, Gene, let's go down, and it's right down the street. Let's go see Ace and have fun, you know, because Gene is a blast to hang out with. He's so funny, and he's super smart. You know, I love listening to him talk.
Right.
And we went over there and walked in, and it was maybe one of the best nights of my life. And those guys just talked and talked, and I, you know, just sat there. I didn't want to interrupt. I didn't want to chime in. I didn't want to do anything. And we had just such a great night. And me and Gene, we watched Ace, and he was incredible. I mean, it was just a perfect night. It really was. I was so happy.
That's cool. You know, I'm a huge fan of Gene Simmons. I love talking to him. I've been a Kiss fan since I was a kid, just like yourself and the whole thing. And I don't know why, but for whatever reason, he blocked me on Twitter. And I still have no idea why. I've got a Kiss wall in my house. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm not sure. And I'm not the only DJ he blocked. I don't know if he goes around blocking DJs or what. You'll have to ask him about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But hopefully he doesn't block me. But no, he's my hero. He's, you know, one of the best, that's for sure.
I will ask him next time I talk to him for sure why he blocked me, because I really have no clue why. I'm like, one day I realized, I'm like, I'm not seeing any tweets from Gene, and I go on his page, I'm blocked. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know what happened there. But and then I follow you on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. Thanks for not blocking me, by the way. I appreciate that.
Oh, I never block you. Yeah, you're always welcome. And I do, you know, I'm very active on the Instagram. It's like having your own TV station. You
it
know?
Is,
it's
yeah.
It really is such a useful tool. I love it, you know, and I'm very active on it. And so is Zombie, and so is, you know, so many other of my really close friends. It's a great way to, you know, talk to people.
It's so cool. Well, not only talk to people, but see what your rock star heroes are doing. And I've talked about this before with different guys, maybe even yourself. But I mean, if we had this when we were kids, I mean, please, we had to imagine what was going on in their lives on the road and in the studios and whatever else. And now it's like, you know, some bands are doing more than others. Some bands don't do it much at all. But I see you posted a picture a couple weeks ago with Slash and Steven Adler and the whole thing. And you've posted different pictures with different guys. Is there ever a time when you see some of these guys that come to see your shows, does it ever make you nervous? You ever get any a little bit of stage fright or no?
Well, let me tell you, at the Whiskey, you know, Zombie came and Slash came and Steven Adler, and you know, they were there and they're supporting and they're, you know, cheering me on. And then I look in the back, and I'm playing the Whiskey a Go-Go, and I look in the back and I see this guy, this really tall guy with his arms up in the air, waving, and I'm looking. I was like, oh my God, Steve Vai's here too. So it was wonderful, you know. Yeah, of course. Of you know, you always get a little bit of, you've seen the show and there's a lot of stuff going on. It's like juggling chainsaws and someone's waiting for you to drop a chainsaw and chop your hand off. But yeah, it's, of course, you always get a little, you know, butterflies doing those kind of things, doing those kinds of shows, you know, because it's, you're so naked up there just playing a zillion notes and you don't want to miss one.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, I don't play guitar, but I do other things. And let's just say I was playing hockey. If I knew that, you know, Pavel Datsyuk was watching me, I'd probably drop my stick or something. I don't know. I'm just saying, who knows?
Yeah, yeah. But, no, it's true. It's true, because those are the guys you know, you love and you respect, and they're there watching you very closely.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of hockey and stuff, you know, Joe Louis Arena is closing down. What are some of your favorite memories at the Joe here in Detroit?
No. Is Joe Louis really closing?
Yeah, they played their last hockey game there on Sunday, and now they're going to move down the street to the Little Caesars Arena, which is going to be by Woodward and 75, right across from Comerica Park. And there's only a few more things, a few more events happening there, but the last Red Wings game was played on Sunday.
Okay, let's talk about this. Van Halen, 1984.
Yeah, there you go.
AC/DC, for those about to rock, yeah. Iron Maiden, Peace of Mind. you know, every show, it was either Cobo or Joe Louis. Everything. I mean, everything. I've seen Metallica with Ozzy, Master of Puppets tour. Yeah, just everything. I can't believe it's closing. It's so sad. Is Cobo still there, or is it gone too?
Well, Cobo is still there, but they're revamping it and doing different things, and I'm not exactly sure what's going on the inside of it right now, because I know they were tearing the whole thing apart. But yeah, it's a new time down in Detroit. If you're going to be here for a few days, you should take a ride down there and just take a ride up and down Woodward and check out some of the new things down there.
I mean, Detroit is really, really become something incredible. I mean, there's so many great restaurants. There's so many great things happening. It's like a brand new city, and I'm proud of that, and I'm proud of the people for doing that. It's incredible.
Yeah. Hey, now, let me ask you about this. I was going to ask you anyways. My son turns 14 this weekend. You have a 13-year-old, right?
Yes, I have a 13-year-old, a 21-year-old, and a 23-year-old. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Please. Yeah, you've been all over the gamut, right? So I was going to ask you about my 14-year-old. He's going to be playing his first high school hockey game tonight, and that's nervous enough for me as dad and the whole thing. But then I thought to myself, you know what? Ty Trujillo, Robert Trujillo's son's going on tour with Korn, and the kid is 12 years old. Could you imagine that?
You know what? If I was 12 at that time, I would have done it too. But that's a lot of pressure. on a kid, and good for him. I mean, that is the greatest thing. That gave me such a great feeling when I heard about this. It's going to be something that, I mean, what a story. There should be a documentary on this. I mean, it's so incredible, and I'm so proud of that kid. That's incredible.
Now, have you met him before?
I have not, but I've met Robert a few times. I don't know Robert well, but I've met him a few times, which is he's an incredible talent. So, I mean, I just cannot wait to see his son. I really am just so proud of him. That takes so much guts and all that stuff, because that's a lot of pressure on a kid. He's 12.
Yeah, and Korn is a real bass-driven band.
Yeah, it is really bass driven, which we've toured with them, you know, many, many times. And what a great band and great people, too. So he's going to have the time of his life, that's for sure.
Now, let's switch gears just a little bit and talk about some of the Rob Zombie stuff. I saw 31. Actually, I saw it like the first weekend it came out, when I bought it on my DirecTV or whatever it was. And it was a pretty cool movie. I'll tell you what, it really went steps and bounds ahead of The Lords of Salem, which I didn't really care for a whole lot, although I love Rob Zombie movies. But tell everybody about scoring that movie and what kind of went into that.
Yeah, 31, scoring that is, scoring a movie is really, really difficult, because it's pretty much music that should not distract you from the film, but it has to add so much emotion, and it has to add excitement or sadness or any kind of emotion. So it is very, very, very difficult to score a movie. I don't score for other movies or anything like that, just Rob's films, because it's so much work. I mean, there's something like 60-something cues that goes into these movies, and it's one of the hardest things that I do.
Yeah, that movie was pretty good. I liked that one.
Yeah, it's really, really great, and I'm very proud to be, doing this with Rob, because it's cool to see your music up on that big screen and being a part of the history of the zombie movies, that's for sure.
I think on the last Rob Zombie record, he was telling me that the end of one of the songs with like the piano part and stuff was actually a part that you had created for one of his movies that you guys didn't use, and he decided to use it on the last record.
That's right, yeah, and because me and Rob were always writing music, we're always creating, we're always doing things, and some of the record we did, in his kitchen, we recorded it, and we put up a mic, and we would record it, and we were like, oh, great, and then we'd try to, redo it in like a fancy big studio, and the original recording sounded great, so technology today.
Hey, a couple more things here for you, John. Once again, the Token Lounge is Saturday night. Tell us, I mean, you've probably heard this question before, but so this past year, or maybe it was last year, I can't remember, I put out different Christmas cards with celebrities, and last year, I think it was, I put out a picture of me and Rob Zombie, and it said Happy Horror Days, and then I always try to put something underneath the artist to tell what they are and what they do and the whole thing, then something derogatory about myself, just kind of as a joke. But I put like, under Rob Zombie, I put rock star, movie producer, vegan, the whole thing. And people are like, the biggest comment I got was, Rob Zombie's a vegan? Tell us something that we wouldn't know about Rob.
Well, you know what? Rob is probably one of the smartest people I've ever worked with. He has turned my life around more than anybody else. And, he's done so many things, but like, even with the vegan thing, I mean, it's tough. People are like, oh, I don't like vegan food. And it's like, well, do you like apples? Yeah. Okay. Do you like a carrot? Yeah. Well, that's vegan food. It's like, but we travel and we work so much. We fly to different countries. We're doing all these things. And I've never felt better in all of my life. I know, people don't really like hearing about this because they love the meat and all that stuff. But, I feel better than I did when I was 18, and it's unbelievable. It is. It really is unbelievable. So I'm not pushing it on anybody, but if anybody listening doesn't feel good or doesn't feel right, that's all you got to do. It's not rocket science. You know, all you got to do is just eat right and you're going to live, you know, till 100 years old.
Yeah. And a final thing here for you. I know you've jammed with a lot of guys on stage and stuff. And I talked to Satchel from Steel Panther last week. Have you jammed with those guys?
Yeah, actually, I got up on stage with them before, you know, and what a great band. I love those guys. And I would go see them in L.A. all the time, and it was called, like, Metal School,
right.
Metal Shop, you know, and things like that. And I just would love to go see them. What a amazing, amazing band. I love them.
Now, I've seen videos with you on stage with Kirk Hammett and different guys like that. Tell me a few of your favorite jam sessions where you got up on stage with the other bands.
Well, let's see. Great question. Kirk Hammett, that's definitely one for the books. That's definitely at the top of the list. I got a chance to jam with Ace, you know, a few times. And, God, there's so many people now that I'm thinking about it, of who, you know, Mick Mars, and there's so many people, and I can't believe it. You know, it's like Steve Vai and you know, Joe Satriani and all these people. It's like all of my heroes, and being so close to David Lee Roth, you know, just he's my buddy, and we'll just go and we'll play and we'll, you know, write music. And it's pretty incredible, you know, just a kid from Gross Point and playing those clubs, playing Harpos, playing those, boy, I do miss those Harpo shows on Thursday nights where it was like the beauty contest. All those, that was a good time. Those were fun shows. And the Ritz in New York, man, what a great time those times were. It was incredible.
Yeah, a lot of those places are gone. I was just at Harpo's a few weeks ago. It hasn't changed a bit.
Well, that's great. Yeah, there's so many great memories of Detroit, but I do have a few couple bad memories, which you can probably relate to being a hockey player. I, you know, we lived right on Lake St. Clair, and we would get out there, you know, and I was a horrible hockey player, but I would get out there and my ankles would, like, you know, turn in and all that stuff, and a little kid, but, you know, not a lot of people know the story, but I was, you know, skating around and we were playing hockey, and I fell through the ice and I blacked out. And, you know, luckily my neighbor who I was playing hockey with, you know, fished me out and laid me out on the couch. I woke up and, you know, that was it. It was wild, though.
Wow. Yeah, the hypothermia and stuff probably started to set in.
Man, yeah, it was pretty wild. So I think my days of hockey ended.
Yeah, just
on that day.
Stand on the wooden stage and you'll be okay.
So
Saturday at the Token, John 5, and of course, you know, you're going to have your guitars up there and your Telecasters and your banjos and everything else. Any mechanical equipment, anything like Pound Cake, Van Halen? Do you ever try to experiment with anything else?
Oh yeah, we're gonna have all sorts of things going on, and it's funny me telling that hockey story of falling through the ice. I did fall through the stage at the Hamtramck Pub. No joke. True story. So, geez, I don't weigh much, but I don't know. Maybe it's a sign.
Maybe your guitars are too heavy.
Yeah, I don't know. Something.
All right, John. Well, listen, man. Safe travels. Could hardly wait to see you on Saturday.
All right, looking forward to it, man.
I could talk to John 5 all night, but of course he's got to go on stage and play guitar and that kind of thing. Someday I'm going to find out why Gene Simmons blocked me on Twitter. To be honest, like I said, I have no clue. I'm like, why haven't I seen any tweets from Gene Simmons? Oh, because I'm blocked for some reason. I have no idea. I possibly might have said something bad about Family Jewels. I'm not sure. I don't even remember. Anyways, check me out on Twitter at MeltdownWRIF. And thank you so much for listening. And go check out John 5 this coming Saturday at the Token Lounge. I'm going to be up there as well. I'll tell you what, he puts on a great show. I'm serious when I say, you know, it's hard to watch a guitar player for 90 minutes. Not with John. It's super easy. The show is great. He's constantly changing stuff. He does this medley at the end, which is just awesome as well. So once again, thank you so much for checking out Radio Chatter. Hit me up on the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram, the whole thing, and we'll do it all over again next week.